Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe everyone needs to hear, heed, and embrace: the message of Christmas. We're talking about good news and great joy. A Savior's born. That's what the Scripture says, as the angel speaking to the shepherds says to them. The Scripture reads this way: "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The focus being on, stop being afraid. There's good tidings, good news. That good news brings great joy. That great joy is for all people. What is that good news? A Savior's born. The Scripture says He is Emmanuel, God with us. So the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first Christmas, we celebrate some 2,000 plus years later, that birth. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We call it Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth because it is good news. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm delighted that we have one of our 4 sons, Greg. Greg's on the line. He's not in the southern tip of heaven today, which is up in northeast Tennessee. He's right here in the city, and I'm thankful that he's with us. Greg, thank you so much for calling.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. Who were the first two voices I heard?
That was Olivia, and then that was Randa, and then that was Eli. So you have Merry Christmas from 4 generations in our household today.
That's good. I'm thankful for that. I didn't recognize Eli's telephone voice. ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful, and I am so blessed. We have 4 sons, 10 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandsons. And I'm thankful for our son, Greg, that's on the line communicating with us today. Thankful for his family. Thankful that we can celebrate Christmas together as a family. It is a time of joy. It is a time of good news.
You know, if you look at that very first Christmas, the thing that makes it so beautiful is the looking past the manger. First off, in the manger, you have a lamb, the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, born that day in that manger. It's an appropriate place for a lamb to be born. As you move forward, though, the gift that we celebrate most of all around Christmas time wasn't just the lamb that came that day, but the purpose for which he came, and that was where he hung on the tree for our sins. And the fact is, the greatest gift in the world didn't go underneath a tree, but was hung upon a tree. And then beyond the grave, beyond the tomb, we find the empty tomb and the hope, the promise, the joy that we can experience as believers, and the promise of eternal life. So today is about much, much more than the manger scene and in that town of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It really goes to an eternity with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, I'm looking at an article that says how Christianity has lost the Savior. The article in part reads this way. The real truth doesn't sell. In fact, it usually hurts. But nothing sets one free as much as knowing the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He is more than a Savior, more than just simply a name on a coin. He's more than simply one in whom we trust. Jesus Christ, the incarnation of truth. And apart from him, everything else is simply opinion, a mere shadow of truth. Truth is not an opinion. Truth is the person, Jesus Christ. I don't think I could have stated it any more succinctly than that writer did in that article. But it's wonderful to be able to celebrate Christmas. And as we look at the text where the announcement comes to the shepherds, that is good news that brings great joy. And that good news is that a Savior is born. Greg, I know that you and I have talked about this in part before, but as we think about Jesus Christ being the good news, it's the arrival of that good news into the world scene. It is the fact that Jesus Christ is born. The angel said the birth of Jesus will bring great joy for all people. What does that mean? The birth of Jesus, the Savior, will bring great joy to all people. How is that possible in a world of sin, in a world of darkness, in a world of decay, in a world that seems to be coming apart? How is it? How do you state that? How do we succinctly state it for our listeners today that as we celebrate Christmas, it is the good news that brings great joy to all people?
God is not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The joy is available for the entire world. The joy to the world is joy that's available to the entire world. If you're not a believer, Christmas time may not be a very happy time. There's nothing really to celebrate. You can, and that's good, well, and wonderful, and hopefully that celebration will cause you to reflect upon what's truly being celebrated. But throughout the Scripture, we have a projection of Jesus coming, then his coming, and then a projection of Christ's return, even in John 1:1-2, and that just jumps out to me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by the time you skip down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is Jesus. And to me, the beauty of it all, the hope of it all, the joy of it all is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. For anybody celebrating Christmas this year and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've not begun to know joy until you come to know him.
That is exactly right, Greg, so succinctly put. So as we celebrate Christmas, Greg, we do so because the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news that brings great joy. The birth of Jesus Christ is good news, and that great joy is because a Savior is born. And ladies and gentlemen, that word Savior means a deliverer. Listen very carefully. The birth of Jesus Christ is good news that brings great joy because in Jesus' birth, we have a Savior. In fact, Greg, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Scripture says, Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Matthew 1:21, the Scripture says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So listen, it's Christmas. Jesus is born. We have a Savior, a deliverer from our sins. Greg, what would the world be like if Jesus Christ had not come? In your mind, how would you give a verbal picture of what you would think, you would perceive the world to be like if Jesus Christ had never been born, if he had never come into the world, if God with us had never taken place, what would it be like?
Well, there are a series of movies that always go to dystopian futures, but the worst, if you will, of a dystopia, a negative future, negative outlook, is a world without Jesus Christ. Understand, that's what your atheists, your agnostics and such live with today. It's a world without Jesus Christ in their mind. You know, by failing to believe, that doesn't take away the existence of Jesus Christ and that available redemption. But you have to go literally to one of two faith extremes. And one faith believes that in the beginning, God created. The other faith extreme is in the beginning, nothing. And nothing created nothing. And I would venture that most everyone today listening to this broadcast realizes one of those two takes far, far, far more faith than the other. But both are faith belief systems, faith structures. A world without Jesus Christ is a hopeless existence. When you beg the single question, what are you here for? What are you here for? And if we're not here to glorify the Lord, then our existence is a hopeless, helpless, abhorrible, potentially, existence. But through Jesus Christ, we have hope. In him, we have hope. In his resurrection, we have hope and life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We have to realize that Jesus Christ absolutely told the truth, or he was a lunatic. And I have you know today, he told the truth. The Old Testament has over 300 prophecies dealing with the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, fulfilled every single one of them. So 66 books written over the course of about 1,500 years, penned by about 40 different authors from every background in the world, but it fits to the whole of the Word of God, fits together seamlessly. Even atheists like Jordan Peterson say it is the most hyperlinked book, it is a book, but it's hyperlinked as far as in there are references and cross-references, 65,000 of them through Scripture. He, in tears, says that it's a miraculous book. Get to know him. Get to know his word. If you get to know his word, you will get to know him. You will come to know him.
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, as we think about Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, it is the good news that brings great joy to all people. The birth of Jesus is good news. The birth of Jesus is good news, for a Savior is born. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. We have a Savior today. And I can say, Greg, to all of our listeners, we have a Savior, a deliverer, that will deliver us from our sins. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to recognize is that we're all born sinners. We're born into a sinful world. We're born as sinners. And Jesus Christ came into the world, God shrouded in human form, God incarnate, God with us. Jesus Christ came into the world in the form of man to die on the cross, to shed his rich red royal blood for sinners such as I. And so, ladies and gentlemen, he delivers us from our sin. We're all sinners. Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection from the cross, from the dead, came into the world to save us. His shed blood on Calvary's cross. And without the shedding of the blood, the scripture says there's no remission for sin. Without Jesus, we would all be helpless. Without Jesus, we'd all be hopeless. Without Jesus, we'd all be in our sins. Greg, there's another thought. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brings great joy. It is that incredible, indescribable gift that God has given to all people. And when we sing the Christmas carols, when we decorate with the beautiful lights, when we use colorful wrapping paper on our gifts as we give it, we're expressing the great joy that a Savior is born. Greg, I know that you know from the family tradition in our home, Mom loves to decorate the Christmas tree, likes the beautiful decoration on the tree, the beautiful lights, and the scripture is very, very clear that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of men, John 1:4. He is the light of the world in John 8:12. And so, I want our listeners to understand the beauty and the rationale, the reason behind lights for Christmas. It represents Jesus Christ being the light of the world. And that's expressing our personal joy that is expressed publicly when we display the lights. We're saying Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that is the great joy that we have as we celebrate Christmas. And Greg, one thing that our listeners need to be reminded of is that we need to make room for Jesus. Because when you see the scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, scripture says there was no room for Jesus in the inn. And today, there are multitudes of people that are celebrating a holiday and not a holy day. They're celebrating by revelry. They're celebrating by going and coming and eating and giving, receiving gifts, but not having room in their hearts, not having room in their homes to recognize the Lord Jesus. What would you say to families that are so caught up and involved in the holiday that they fail to make room for Jesus? What would be your observation? What would be your take on that and recommendation for those listening that may be so caught up with the holiday that they do not leave room for Jesus? What is the fix for that? What should be done?
Absent Jesus Christ, it really is just another commercialized day of the year. Matter of fact, probably the most or the second most. Some would say that Halloween, a satanic holiday, if you will, All Hallows Eve, and some will say that folks spend more money in decorating at that time of year. That's truly perverse, but I suppose it's even more perverse if all of your decorations and all of your preparation, if all of your celebration, if all of your gift-giving leaves out Jesus, then it is just another day. It's just another commercialized day in which people cast mass amounts of money and waste a huge amount of time, if not for the celebration of Jesus Christ. And, you know, back when you were in Luke 2 earlier, I believe, in 9 and 10, and where the angel came to those shepherds in the field, and they were fearful, and it says they were sore afraid, and the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," I believe is how that finishes out. But that fear not, I think it's been said that fear not shows up 365 times in the scripture. I've not verified that, but that's what I've been told. But that's fear not one time for every day of the year. The Lord would not have to be in fear. And his coming, through Jesus Christ, you eliminate that fear. What's the most fearful thing in the world for a human being today? Death is. I think the second most fearful thing is to speak publicly. But what people, I believe, fear most is death. But there's no fear in death for the believer. It's a going home moment. It's a going home moment. Years ago, I attended the funeral of a friend, and he was the services were held at Solid Rock Baptist Church on Old St. Augustine Road. And so Anthony Hall was his name. I showed up for his funeral, and I thought I was at the wrong place because that house was shaking. I went in, and they were having a going-home celebration. You know what? You can't have a going-home celebration when you're lost. Mm-hmm. You can't have a going-home celebration other than through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, you can fear not. You can fear not what man shall do to you. That's in the scripture. You fear not that death because you'll only die once as a believer. The lost person sees the second death, the spiritual death. You can fear not because he is with you. You can fear not. Throughout the scripture, you can fear not if you have Jesus Christ. So I would invite every single one of you to make sure Christ is in Christmas this year, and more so that Christ is in your heart this Christmas.
Absolutely. Well said. And Greg, one of the things that I think of when we think about that fear not, all of these statements that are made in that text are universally accepted to be universally applicable. It's a universal to all people, the scripture says, to all people. And when we see that, I'm also reminded of Matthew, the second chapter, the first 11 verses. We find the biblical account of the wise men. And I want us to think on this for a moment in the balance of our time, if you'll hang in there with me, Greg. The scripture talks about these wise men. They traveled for some 2 years. They were studiers of the scripture. They knew the Old Testament text. They knew what was said in Numbers chapter 24, verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 about the star that's going to direct them to the Messiah, Yeshua, Savior, Jesus Christ. They searched for 2 years. They traveled. They didn't have jumbo 777 airplanes. They didn't have Lyft or Uber. They traveled, some say, as much as about 300 miles, but it was about 2 years, perhaps on camel's back or on donkey's back, searching to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they found him, according to Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11, and focusing on verse 11, when they found him, the scripture says, they worshiped him. In fact, I want to read that verse, Greg, and then you and I talk about it for just a moment. In the second chapter of Matthew, let me go there very quickly if I can. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, the scripture says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, speaking of Jesus, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Greg, one of the things that I would like to talk about is the fact that when these men, they're called wise men, when the wise men found the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd searched for him for some 2 years, and they'd travel risking much in their lives. They'd travel for that 2+ years. They searched, and they finally found Jesus. When they did, they fell down and worshiped him. And secondly, they expressed that worship and adoration and love by giving the Lord Jesus Christ gifts. Now, what I want to say and ask a question to you, Greg, is that at Christmas season, we buy and wrap and give and receive gifts from each other. But the question is, that should be asked and begs to be answered, what do we give, generally speaking, for our listening audience? What's been given? What are you giving this year? What are you giving this Christmas? What have you given this Christmas to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's his birthday. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It would be unusual to go to a birthday party and everybody give and receive gifts, but the one that is represented in that birthday party, in that birthday celebration, if he gets no gift. And that's what we see so often happening in the world today. So, Greg, what is your response to that? What's your take on that? How would you say, what would you say to our listeners that's the best focus rather than giving of gifts to each other? That's good. That's wonderful. That's representing what Christ has done for us. But what should we do in response to following an example that's found in the text of the wise men? They worshiped him. They surrendered to him. They submitted to him. And they gave him gifts. How do we apply that in our lives today?
Well, what's really cool about the text, first off, you point out they were called wise men, and these wise men were seeking based on what they had seen foretold in the scriptures. They were seeing prophecies fulfilled. I mean, today, I believe we're seeing the leading edge of prophecies being fulfilled, dealing with eschatological events, end times events. That makes a lot of lost folks apprehensive. Some Christians that don't know their scripture makes them apprehensive. It gets me excited. And the reality is, with these wise men that sought Jesus, they were seeing prophecies being fulfilled. That's why they sought him. Wise men still seek Jesus today. It's a wise thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But the seeking component, you have throughout the scripture, seeking, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's in Matthew, what's in parallel gospels there. But and back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 23, 13, and if you seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And 2 Chronicles 15:2 in the second part says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. 1 Chronicles 16:11. By the way, these are Old Testament, but I believe there's some beautiful things that can be applied to the believer today. And that 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, over and over and over. Just type in the word seek in the Bible. See how many times the word seek is there. And the types of things that we should be seeking. It's seeking God and seeking his righteousness and seeking. That's what a wise man will do, is to seek the things the Lord would have us to seek. And I think that's a beautiful thing that we can get out of that text.
Absolutely.
That's how you can be counted among the wise men today.
And Greg, one of the final things that I believe would be apropos as we talk about this wonderful subject, good news, a great and great joy, a Savior is born. We find in Luke's Gospel, the 2nd chapter, where we, after the announcement has been made to the shepherds, how do they respond to it? Verse 15 says, when it came to pass, and the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which that were told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered, that was in amazement, at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The very simplistic part of that, Greg, is these shepherds became the first witnesses of the birth of Jesus Christ. We know that based on the scripture. So in closing, Greg, we've got about a minute. What would be the challenge to our listeners today as we celebrate Christmas about telling others about Jesus and why we're celebrating the birth of Christ?
Well, this year, realize you get gifts for the folks that you love. And the greatest gift came from God, and the reflection of that you find in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the hope that we see at Christmas.
Absolutely. And the greatest gift that we can give is ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and then telling everybody that we see, everybody that we come in contact with as we celebrate Christmas. We could say, and it's using the old slogan, Jesus is the reason for the season. We're to tell everybody, high and low, wide, broad and wide, we're to tell everybody that we're celebrating Christmas because the birth of a Savior, Jesus Christ, which is good news, great joy to all people. Greg, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
CBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.